Tonight, I'm going to speak on the subject America. I'm proud to be an American. I loved that God gave me the blessing of being born in the United States of America. And I have a real simple message tonight, on this Sunday before the 4th of July when we celebrate our independence. I just want to say three things about America. I want to first of all, talk a little bit about the greatness of America, how God has blessed us as a nation. And then I want to talk about the God of America, and then I want to end with the guilt of America. My text verse tonight is the one we read from Psalm 33, verse 12. I'm just going to use the first part of that verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That word blessed is the same word that we find over in the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, when he started the Sermon on the Mount, there's a section called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be called the children of God, and other things that he mentioned there. It's the same word. It means happy. It means a deep, heartfelt joy, not just happiness that comes from circumstances, but a happiness that comes from being knowing that you're one of God's children and in his will. And I just want you to notice something. That verse, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is just as true as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is just as true as John 3:16. It's just as true as Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Psalm 33:12 is just as true as Jeremiah 33:3. It's just as true, Psalm 33:12 is just as true as Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the Bible is not a smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose verses that you believe and verses that you don't believe. Verses that Brother Clyde read tonight from the book of Proverbs about wine and how we should not even look at it are just as true as the verses I just mentioned. You can't pick and choose. You can't say this part of the Bible is true and this part of the Bible doesn't apply anymore. If you start going down that road, pretty soon you have no Bible. Because as Mary Ann testified, people will take it and make it say anything they want. And so, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God wanted us to have that verse just as much as he wanted us to have all the other ones. He wanted us to have the truth of that verse, just like he wanted us to have the truth of all the other verses. And I think there's many people in our land today that have forgotten where the blessedness in our nation comes from. It comes from God. Greatness and happiness of a nation is not by its military might. It's not by its economic power. It's not by its educational prowess. Greatness and happiness in a nation is found in the simple truth, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So, again, three things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, first of all, the greatness of America. I want to talk about some of the blessings that God has given us that we ought never, ever forget. God has, and again, I have several of these. I have letters by them. And so I won't call out the letters, but I'll just tell you when I'm changing the subject. First of all, God has blessed us with a vast, wonderful array of natural resources. Just about every commodity that we need to manufacture, anything that we want to manufacture, is found in the United States of America. A few years ago, if you would have told somebody that the United States was going to be the leading producer of oil, that we would break the dependence that we have on the Middle East and we would produce all the oil that we needed a country, you would have said, they're crazy. There's no way that's ever going to happen. There's no way that we're ever going to quit needing oil from the Middle East. But we're almost there, folks. God has blessed us with not only the natural resource, but the skills to get that oil out of the ground in different ways so that we are real close becoming energy independent. We don't have to depend on Saudi Arabia. We don't have to depend on Kuwait. We don't have to depend on the other nations. God is about to make us independent when it comes to oil. But you could almost say that same thing about anything else. Everything that we need to manufacture the things that we want to make, God has given us the raw materials for in this country, in the fields of America. We could, from the fields of America, if we wanted to, we could feed the world. I mean, we're still paying farmers to keep their fields idle because, you know, they want to keep the price up. But if we wanted to, America could feed the people of the world from the richness of the land that God has given us in this country. From the mines of America, just about every mineral that we need is dug. On the prairies of America, every kind of animal that roams those prairies provides the meat that we enjoy. And so God has given us just a wonderful array of natural resources. He's also given us natural beauties. Every type of scenery that you want to see, you don't have to leave the United States of America. You can see it in our country. I know people talk about the coast of the Mediterranean. Well, we have the coast of the Atlantic and the coast of the Pacific and the Gulf Shores. They talk about the Danube, the river in Europe. Well, and it's a beautiful river. I got to see it at one time. But we have the Ohio, and we have the Mississippi, and we have the Colorado. People talk about the Alps, the mountains in Switzerland. Well, we have the Alleghenies and the Adirondacks and the Smokies and the Rockies. They talk about the interesting spots that are around the world. And yet, we can go and stand in New York and see Niagara Falls. We can go to Arizona and see the Grand Canyon. We can go and see Yellowstone. We can see the Redwoods. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You put all the scenery together in the world. I'll tell you tonight, I think we could equal it in the United States of America. Given to us by God. All these things come from Him. He's given us a good form of government, a free republic. Some call it a democracy, where the leaders are supposed to represent the people. For 241 years, it has served us well. Now, in that time, forms of government all over the world have changed. Nations have changed their forms of government. Ours has been attacked, but it's still the same. I'm glad we have a constitution that guards the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And Brother Gene was right. We need to pray. We need to ask God to keep his arms of protection around us to protect those freedoms that we enjoy. And again, that's a prayer that we need to put our feet to. If we do not exercise those freedoms, if we do not take advantage of those freedoms, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but I'll say it anyway. If we do not exercise those freedoms, then God said, well, if they don't enjoy them, if they don't exercise them, I might take them away. And so we need to exercise the freedom that God has given us, and we need to thank God for the freedom that He's given us. We have the freedom of speech, freedom of press. I can say anything I want tonight. I can preach the convictions of this book. I can preach the convictions of my heart. I don't have to worry about being arrested. I don't have to worry about being thrown in jail because of what I say. I have the freedom to say anything that I want. Editors that print newspapers have that same freedom. They can write about whatever they want to write about. They can criticize the government. They can criticize our leaders, and a lot of them are doing that. They can criticize the decisions that our leaders are making, but they have the right to do that. That's the freedom that's guaranteed in the Constitution. You know, there are many countries in the world that preachers have to submit their sermons to the government to get them approved before they're allowed to preach them. The mayor of Houston, not too long ago, had the city council pass a resolution that all the churches in the city of Houston, had the pastors had to submit their sermons to get them approved because they were, before they preached them, because there was too much hate going on in the sermons. They were talking about how homosexuality was a sin, and they wanted to stop that. Now, thankfully, the citizens of Houston rose up, and I think they got rid of half the city council when they did away with that little ruling that they make. But I don't have to get my sermons approved. I don't have to give them to a government authority to get their okay. In some countries of the world, you only see on the news, here on the news, what the government wants you to see. I'm glad we live in a country where we still have the freedom of press and the freedom to speak our mind. God has also given us religious freedom. We can believe anything we want to believe. Marianne, even though we're dismayed by what that church might do, they have the freedom to do that. No government's going to tell them, no, you can't change that. No government's going to tell them this is what you have to believe. In Russia, May 1st, 19, well, I don't have the right year down here, but Stalin issued this decree. Here's what he said. There must not remain in the territory of the Soviet Russia a single house of prayer, and the very conception of God will be banished from the boundaries of Russia. That's what Joseph Stalin said. He said, we're going to do away with every church. We're going to do away, the idea of God is not going to exist within the boundaries of Russia. Well, Stalin's dead. Communist has fallen. The gospel is being preached in Russia. I'm glad we've never had to face that in America. I'm glad we have religious freedom. I'm glad for that Baptist preacher named Roger Williams, who was persecuted for his belief, who fled to what we know as Rhode Island, who founded the city of Providence, and the Constitution, as he contributed to it, said every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. Every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own hearts. Now, when they got ready to put the Constitution together, they borrowed that from the state of Rhode Island and gave us the religious freedom that we enjoy today. God, and again, every one of these things are a blessing from God. We enjoy these things. We need to realize that they all come from our Heavenly Father. He's given us the idea of separation of church and state. It's really misunderstood today. I mean, people take the separation of church and state out of context, and they say that the church should have nothing to do with the government. That's just the opposite of what the founders wanted. What the founders wanted is the government have nothing to do with the church. In their mind, the church ought to have a lot to do with the government. But the separation of church and state says the government can't form a state church. The government can't make its citizens pay taxes to a state church. It surely doesn't mean that the church should stay out of politics. It certainly doesn't mean that the church should have no interest and it take no matter of who's elected. The church ought to be involved. The church ought to take concern about who's elected. The church ought to vote for those that will represent what we believe. God has given us a country where everybody has a chance. Henry Ford said one time, there's no such thing as no chance. Everybody has a chance. Anybody who has a dream, anybody who works, can make a success in America. Thomas Edison came from a poor family. The world today uses over 1,100 of the things that he invented. Somebody said in 1800, they said, we ought to just close the patent office. Everything that's been invented that needed to be patented has already been invented. 1800. You think about the things that have been invented and patented since 1800. What a land of opportunity that we have that God has blessed us with. God has given us victory in the wars that we've gone to fight. We haven't won them all, but as far as I know, we've never lost one. Sometimes we didn't go in to win. Sometimes we just went in to police a certain place. But we've never suffered a defeat in war. We've never given up any of our territory unless it was by our own free will. It was never taken from us. America is great because God has blessed our country. We sing the song, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And he's certainly done that. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The greatness of America. Now, the God of America. If America is great, it's because we've given God his rightful place. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, let me just be clear what that verse is saying. Blessed is the nation who Jehovah, the God of Israel, blessed is the nation who makes that God their Lord. Their Lord. A South American president said one time, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold, but North America was founded by men who were seeking God. Someone else said, the Spaniards came here for gold. The French came here for gain, but the original colonists came here for God. Pericles built a civilization on culture. It failed. Caesar built a civilization on power. It failed. Our forefathers built a nation on God, and as long as God remains our Lord, we will be blessed as a nation. In our Pledge of Allegiance, when did we add that phrase, Bill? When Eisenhower? 1954, when Eisenhower was president. We added that phrase to our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. Under God. That's the source of our blessings in America. A nation under God. We need to hold our country up in prayer. We need to pray for our country. We have a long heritage of that. When the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt down and thanked God for this land. The church, when they built cities, when they built towns across our country, you know what the center of every town was? It wasn't the town hall. It was a church. It was a church. For the most part, they had school in a church. When the Continental Congress faced great problems and difficulties and didn't know what to do, Benjamin Franklin and others called them to prayer. And we had men that wrote our Constitution that knew what it was to get a hold of God and get an answer to prayer. Not serried ranks with flags unfurled, nor armored ships that gird the world. Not hoarded wealth nor busy mills, not cattle on a thousand hills. Not sages wise, nor schools nor laws. Not boasted deeds in freedom's cause. All these may be, and yet the state, in the eye of God, be far from great. That land is great which knows the Lord, whose songs are guided by his word, where justice rules twixt man and man, where love controls in art and plan, where breathing in his native air, each soul finds joy in praise and prayer. Thus may our country, good and great, be God's delight. Be God's delight, man's best estate. We're blessed as a nation because we've made the God our Lord. And then finally tonight, the guilt of America. I mentioned three sins tonight. First of all, the sins of indifference. The sins of indifference. And I Brother Wayne and ladies, I can't remember the name of the song that you played for the offertory. I can't remember the most of the words, but one of the phrases I remember is, let it begin with me, or let it begin in me. The sin of indifference I'm talking about is when a person says, I'm only one, what can I do? What difference can I make? Satan has told that lie down through the ages that we as individuals can't make any difference. What if Moses had believed that? What if Moses had believed the lie, I'm only one, what difference can I make? What if Gideon had believed that? What if David had believed that? What if Jeremiah had believed that? What if our forefathers had, what if Washington had believed that? What if Lincoln had believed that? You and I, as individuals, can make a difference. We can make a difference. God, the truth we tried to get across in Bible school this week, and those of the adults that were here can tell you, we hammered this truth in the Bible stories that we told. We hammered it in the missionary stories that we told. We hammered it in the verses that we had the kids memorized. We even hammered it in the treasure hunts that we had. God created every person for a purpose. God has a plan for every person's life. God knows that we as individuals, if we find that plan, if we live according to that purpose, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. A little boy was coming to a man's Sunday school class. That man's name was Edward Kimball. Went to a church in Chicago. Had a little poor boy that came to a Sunday school class, and Mr. Kimball was worried about his soul. He worked as a clerk in a shoe store, and Mr. Kimball made arrangements to go down and visit with him on one of his breaks. On that break, he talked to that young man and told him how concerned he was about his soul, about how he needed to get saved. And that day, in the back room of the shoe store, that young man asked Jesus to be a savior. Just a little poor boy in a Sunday school class nobody had ever heard of before. But that little boy's name was Dwight Moody. And what a difference he made, not only in our country, but in the world. So the sin of indifference, you can make a difference. The sin of ingratitude, we need to be thankful for God for how he's blessed us as a country. Too many people today are not saying thank you. Too many people, instead of thank you, are saying, well, we want more. We just want more. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the soul is gratitude. And when gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, he is well nigh gone. We need to be grateful for what God has given us. We need to thank God every day. We need to thank God every day for the blessing he gave us that let us be born in the United States of America. We need to be thankful to God every day for the blessings he's bestowed on our nation. And then the third and last thing, the sin of indifference, the sin of ingratitude, the sin of sin. Wicked living. Living as if there wasn't any God. And what a shame it is for Christians, those who have know Jesus as their Savior, who know what it is to live a righteous life, what a shame it is for them to fall away from God. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A nation will only be righteous if its citizens are righteous. Now, we can't expect the unsaved to be righteous. They don't know God. The only hope for America is for Christians to be what they're supposed to be. That's the only hope we have. That's the basis of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, God's not talking to lost people in that verse, he's talking to us as Christians. We need to be what he has called us to be as his children. We need to be what he's called us to be as his representatives. Sunday night in Paris, 1939, the Germans were storming the gates of the city. People were in great danger. The French newspapers the next day reported that more people went to church on that night than any other night in the history of Paris. We can go back to 9/11 when the airplanes crashed into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon, and another one was headed for the White House and crashed in the fields of Pennsylvania. You remember how the nation was drawn to God? Remember how our elected representatives gathered on the steps of the Capitol and asked God to protect our nation? Isn't it a shame that bombs have to fall, that the terrorists have to attack before we realize that our only hope is in God? Psalm 33:12, just as true as any other verse in the Bible. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The greatest thing that we can do to help America is to be the Christian that God has called us to be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful, tremendous blessing that you've given us to be a citizen of the United States of America. Thank you for the freedoms that you've blessed this land with, for the resources that you've blessed this land with. Thank you, Father, that we can, on a Sunday night, we can come to a church, we can freely meet together and worship you according to the dictates of our own hearts. Thank you for that freedom. And I pray tonight, Father, and am grateful for the freedom not only we have in this country, but for the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That freedom from sin. We heard it a couple, three times in the testimonies tonight. How grateful we are for what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And I pray tonight, if there's even one here that doesn't know what it is to enjoy that freedom in Jesus, the freedom from sin, freedom from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, one day from the presence of sin, that tonight they'll understand that they are a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them, convict them of their need for Christ, and if they help them tonight to come and receive him as their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to be, for the sake of our country, for the sake of those that come behind us, help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us to be Christians. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.